Did you know that Midas can perform your manufacturer's scheduled maintenance? For most, that means every 30,000 miles you need to check or service critical fluids in the transmission, transfer case, differentials, engine coolant, and brakes. Midas goes a step further with a visual inspection before recommending service. If it can wait, Midas will advise as such. If it needs serviced, Midas will explain why and provide a no-obligation quote. Midas, helping maintain your car, advising what needs fixing, and what can wait. Call or stop by today.
You're invited to a Synergy Shop of Minions open house this Saturday from 11 to 2. Tour the units and see how you can make one your own. Customize yours for classic cars, workshop, storage, studios, your unit, your imagination. Don't miss your chance to explore Sheridan's most flexible commercial space. That's Synergy Shop of Minions open house this Saturday, 11 to 2 at 72 East Ridge Road. Look for our ad on page 14 of this week's Country Bounty.
The Sheridan Bronc football team is 2-0 after their victory over Thunder Basin last Friday, and this weekend they'll stay at the friendly confines and welcome in the Natrona County Mustangs in a matchup between two undefeated foes. If you can't make it up to Homer Scott Field, don't worry. Sheridan Media will bring you all the live action. You can listen on 1410 AM and 106.9 FM KWYO, or you can watch our free live stream on SheridanMedia.com or on the Sheridan Media YouTube and Facebook pages. It's the Bronx versus Mustangs this Friday night. Pregame at 5:30 and kickoff at 6.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Thursday, September 11th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by City of Sheridan Councilwoman Bev Lightnam and Sheridan Fire and Rescue Department Chief Gary Harnish. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd. Thank you for having us.
Good morning.
It's always good having you guys. How've things been down at the city?
The city is in great shape. Regardless of all of the construction that we've had to deal with, but you know, we only have such a short period of time to do all of our road repair and road projects. So, I want to thank the community for being patient with all of the detours and whatnot.
Finding alternate routes.
That's right. Your car really will make a left-hand turn.
It can.
Truly.
It can do it. I've had to do that same thing in Buffalo myself. Chief, how are things at the department?
The department is busy as always. You know, going through, getting all of our annual things completed, testings, hiring and training new firefighters so that us older ones can turn over the reins.
Kind of put the seat back just a little bit farther each year. Now, Chief, it is a very important day. The anniversary of September 11th is here. Can you share what the fire department has planned for the ceremony?
Well, we just completed the ceremony within the last hour.
Oh, wow.
So we time it with the collapse of the third tower every year. And it's a nationwide protocol that we go through. And it's just a short ceremony.
Yeah.
But it pays respect, brings the community together so they can remember what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Literally never forget. What do these remembrance ceremonies mean to you personally and your department as a whole?
Well, to me personally, I think every generation has those events that they remember. And, you know, I was in high school with the space shuttle, so obviously remember that very well. And I was about a fourth-year firefighter when September 11th happened, and coming on shift that morning and watching the plane hit the second tower and watching the events unfold during the day.
Yeah.
So on one hand, we had the greatest rescue of civilians by a fire department that's ever occurred. On the other hand, we had the largest loss of life in firefighters, police officers, EMTs, and other first responders that day. And it's just well worth remembering what happened and how they all went in. Without a thought of who they were rescuing. It's just, there were people and they were coming out, and then watching how the community, the United States, everybody just came together for so many months after that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can remember where I was living in an apartment with just a radio. I didn't have a TV. I did not see images for almost a month, believe it or not, and especially in this day and age, believe that or not. It was pretty traumatic once I actually did get to see those videos.
Yeah, and when we saw it on TV, the TV that I remember was the 19-inch, 75-pound box.
Oh, yeah.
we did have cable, and we did have running water at that time. So, but yes, definitely remember the event.
How about you, Betty?
I was working at the police department, but why that date is so memorable for me is my son, Kelly John Lightnum, was in basic training.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, in basic training, they can't have any contact with family for X amount of weeks or whatever. But, of course, the bases went on alert immediately, and he was able to get to a phone, and he called me, and he goes, "Mom, what is going on?" Because they obviously were not told.
Mm-hmm.
And so I reiterated that the United States had been under attack.
I had just finished basic the month prior. So that that feeling of the world is about to change really came down. And boy, did it ever.
Yeah.
Now, how can the community take part or even show support for our firefighters on this very critical day?
Well, we always seem to have a good turnout for this event. Obviously, weekends we get a little more, but when it happens on a weekday, there were probably 100+ people down there this morning that took the time to come in and, listen to me fumble through a few words. And then they just kind of come in and hang out and talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's, the fire station is always kind of that community open house. The doors are typically open when the weather allows, and we love it when people just stop in and talk. And this day we always get a few more.
Yeah. And get to have a couple good conversations here. And there, and the community gets an opportunity to really support our first responders, our fire department, our police, and remember the bravery above all things, the bravery and the courage of charging into those buildings, knowing, my life's in danger, but that doesn't matter. Like you said, Chief, there's people in there and we got to get them out.
Yep.
So that's what I like to remember, the bravery. Now, switching gears on you, we're going to go over to Free Landfill Days, another big community event. What should residents know before they head out this year?
Well, expect some longer lines. Our roll-off site is out of service right now, which is typically what helps us speed up the process. And so it's just going to take a little longer to cycle those people in and out of the pits. They can only have so many in at a time. And things that can speed that up, if you're coming to dump green waste, use one of your neighborhood sites.
Yeah.
Or green waste is free today, just like it is on the free landfill day. So if you can find other opportunities to do that, that'll definitely help. If you got the load of, spring cleaning in the fall that needs to be taken care of, just expect that you could wait a little longer than normal.
So take a soda, take a bottle of water, and expect a good long wait. Now, could you explain the coupon system for city residents if they don't know exactly what this is and what items may be included? Let's go excluded, because I think that might be probably a smaller list.
So if you live within the city limits, you can use one of your 6 coupons at any time the landfill is open. So free dump. They're good for everything with the exceptions of items that may contain Freon. So if you've got a refrigerator or something like that, you're going to get rid of that coupon. Doesn't work. And again, to use this, just bring it, present it to the utility in your utility bill to the scale house attendant, and they'll get you in and get you taken care of at any time.
Now, Chief, some people might not understand what Freon is, but this is a very toxic gas, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things we don't want to just release into the environment. So when they decommission a refrigerator, freezer, something like that up there, they have to recapture those gases. takes time, takes equipment. And then, of course, you have to pay for hazardous material waste. So that's why you see a small charge when you do those items, and why we try and keep them out of the environment, because it's just not healthy for any of us. That's why we call it hazardous materials.
Absolutely. And you know, that kind of goes, as you said, for other hazardous materials as well. There will be a bit of a surcharge, but it's kind of a processing thing.
Yes, and our landfill has a great system for dealing with those things that you found that Grandpa had in the barn that you need to get rid of.
Yeah.
You know, we would always encourage people to bring things in original containers if at all possible. If it's in the original container, it makes it a little easier to identify. When it comes in just a glass jar, we actually have to go through a chemical analysis process to identify and classify those chemicals and get them put in the right place and taken care of in the right way.
Yeah, Chief, this is it's not off topic, but I'm coming at you from left field on this one. Used or tainted gasoline that's been sitting around the garage for X amount of months, maybe even years. You don't want to use that stuff. You want to get rid of it. What's the safest way we can do that?
Again, work with the landfill and their hazardous waste management. Now, I could be completely off on this because I'm not sure what their current policy is, but we used to absorb it with floor dry and deal with it through the household hazardous waste that
way. Okay, yeah.
Before you go do any of that, check with the landfill if you want to dispose of some of it.
They might have something
brand new. They might have a new and better process that just hasn't filtered up to me yet.
Yeah, and I ask that because I've got a vehicle sitting out front of my place, and I haven't started that thing in a number of years, Chief, and I got to get the gas out of that tank. And I'm wondering, how the heck do I get rid of that nowadays? Now, Counselor, moving on down the line, it is time. The general purpose excise tax applications will be open soon. Could you start by explaining just exactly what GPETs are used for?
GPET funds are used for nonprofits. They can apply to the city for funding, and it has to be for specific reasons. And then the city itself uses GPET funds a lot of times to supplement our budget. So it can be, we can use GPET funds for projects. We can use them for purchasing of vehicles and equipment, but it is not used for salaries or for benefit packages.
Okay. Now, Chief, were you able to take advantage of GPET funds when it came to that ladder truck a number of years ago?
Yes, we were. And in all honesty, most of the equipment that fire and police use is funded with GPET resources.
So this is critical funds.
It's important funds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
What are some key dates that these applicants need to keep in mind this year?
So this year, we've changed a few of the application dates. Applications will be accepted starting October 2nd through November 30th. And beginning in December 1st through March 31st, Council will have the opportunity to review all of those applications along with staff. And staff's review is just to make sure that all of the blanks have been attended to.
All
the boxes have been checked and whatnot. And if there is something that is missing from that application, it does not negate the application. Staff will send it back to the applicant and they can correct their application.
Okay, so if you get it back, the city's not saying, no, you're denied.
That is correct.
Just, hey, something's wrong.
Typically, they have either failed to attach some type of financial information, or they're standing with the Secretary of State, or maybe they just failed to do something very small as list all of their board members.
Yeah.
So receiving it back will not negate the application.
Okay. So fine tooth comb on this one, folks.
Yes.
Go through this thing as best you can. How many of those, I mean, I think about like you at the city, how many did you used to sit and review?
Well, you know, we have, I wish I had the actual figures of how many nonprofits, actual, you know, 501c3 organizations we have. It's in the hundreds, yeah. Hundreds. But typically the city gets anywhere between 20 to 25 applications okay. for GPET funding.
Oh, wow. So,
but there's a lot of information that staff and council needs to review in those applications because we do ask for financial information
mm-hmm.
To make sure that the funds are going for something that the city cannot provide. And that's one of the things that I think the general public doesn't understand when we allocate GPET funds. It's to organizations that provide a service that the city does not.
So in a way, like if we don't get this funded, this service has a possibility of completely vanishing from
that
the city
is correct.
Itself.
There, you know, the larger nonprofits, although they do apply for funding through us, and it would be detrimental to them if they didn't get it, but they would still be in existence. It's the smaller nonprofits that really look to the city and this GPET funding to exist.
Okay. Now, as we look down, you noted that funding, they're conditional, and you need to make sure that you've got all of your finances together, folks, before you turn that in, or you're going to end up getting it back anyway. So try to get it done right the first time, right?
Exactly.
All right. Now, is there anything else you would like them to know regarding GPET fund applications before I move on?
Yes. You can access those GPET applications via our city website. And if you have any questions whatsoever on the application, please contact our city clerk's office at City Hall, and they'll be more than happy to walk you through the application process.
All right. On that, we're going to have more with our city of Sheridan right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
People say, let's just get rid of livestock and grow crops instead. That's not possible.
We're really missing the bigger picture.
In a world without cows, we may be giving up one of our best tools to help heal the planet.
If we want to truly mitigate climate change, we need animals on the landscape.
How do we pull that carbon out of the atmosphere and put it back into the soil? That's where livestock come in.
Agriculture holds the key to saving our planet.
What really happens if you take all the cows away?
Are we better off in a world without cows?
A World Without Cows, Friday night's feature film at the 8th Annual Wild Film Fest in Sheridan, October 2nd through October 5th. See the full lineup and get your tickets now at wildfilmfest.org.
Leaves crunching, kettles whistling, football helmets colliding, families chattering, the sounds of fall. Hearing loss can be a subtle thief, taking away these precious sounds and others that make our lives so rich. If you think you or a loved one may be struggling, please call our office to schedule your free hearing test and consultation. There is nothing to lose and everything to gain. Let the changing seasons encourage you to make a positive change for better hearing. Call 674-8920, on the web at ebahearing.com, or visit on Coffeen Avenue, right next to Sherwin-Williams.
Big dealerships have big budgets for big advertising, but the truth is that major sponsorships cost big bucks. Here at Prime Rate Motors, we choose to sponsor our local youth and local worthwhile programs, all the while passing that savings on to you, our customer. We are locally owned with the same ownership and management for over 40 years. If we don't have what you need, we'll find it and we'll stand behind it after the sale, because we live here, we work here, and we raise our families here. Prime Rate Motors, 2305 Coffeen Avenue.
Big news, Radio Inc. magazine has named our own general manager, Bob Grammons, to the list of the top managers in radio for 2025. Bob has dedicated more than 40 years to the radio profession, including 19 years leading Sheridan Media with growth, innovation, and commitment to serving our community. Congratulations, Bob, and thank you for making Sheridan Media a trusted voice in our community every day.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. And this morning, we're speaking with Sheridan City Councilwoman Bev Lignum and Sheridan Fire and Rescue Department Chief Gary Harnish. Now, Counselor, you received you recently completed ASSIST training. I've never heard of this. What is this?
ASSIST training is Applied Suicide Intervention Skills Training. And it is offered through our county health office. And it is something that I was always interested in. And the director of that office, Ann Perkins, had contacted me personally and said, I would really be happy if you could take this course. Been trying to get more electeds into this course to talk about suicide. And so I took the course. It was two full days, and it was amazing. It was heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Not going to lie, but it was amazing. And what I gathered from that when I walked away is that suicide affects each and every one of us. Whether it happened in your own personal family, or your friends, or your coworkers, everybody, I swear, has had some contact with a suicide event. And therefore, it's up to all of us to learn how to address those loved ones and coworkers and friends when we see them struggling.
Yeah. Would you recommend this course to anyone? Can anyone take this?
Yes. This is open. It typically is offered two times throughout the year, and you can contact Ann Perkins with Sheridan County Health Office for more information. I was so impressed with the training and the skills and tools that I walked away with that I've actually had conversation with our HR director at the city and our city administrator about offering a shorter, possibly more condensed version with our employees. You know, in the city, we have mandatory drug and alcohol training. We have mandatory sexual harassment training. I really feel that this is training that could align with that. Now, whether we make it mandatory or not, of course, that's out of my pocket. However, I feel it's so important because you actually learn how to ask the questions. Mm-hmm. Are you thinking of harming yourself? Are you thinking of killing yourself? and it gives you those tools and training. And it doesn't just always have to be about suicide. We can also look at our coworkers, family, and friends when we notice that they're not acting themselves.
Yeah.
Absenteeism, isolation. Maybe they're not eating. Maybe they're becoming more withdrawn. All of those things. And it's important to ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
We need to not be afraid to ask that question, because if you ask the individual the question, it gives them the opportunity to reach out and say, yes.
You're putting a hand out.
I need help.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for hearing me. Thank you for looking at me. Thank you for making me be known.
And just that in itself can make a massive impact.
It's a huge, huge step. And then, you know, we can, you know, there's three things that you learn in this training, and it's prevention, reducing the things that contribute to suicide or even, you know, depressive type events.
Mm-hmm.
Intervention, you want to do suicide first aid, and increasing the safety of those persons and people around them who may have those thoughts. And then postvention, helping those people get the help they need, or even the families that may have to be involved in a suicide event.
Yeah. And you know, suffer and endure.
Yes. Yes.
Afterwards.
How do we get from I to we?
Yeah. Chief, what do you think about great programs like this? Because I think a lot of people, it was you, if I remember correctly, who alerted me to the suicide rate among our first responders.
Yeah, programs like this are amazing with being able to educate and teach people how they can intervene.
Yeah.
You know, we're not counselors, but when we learn how to ask the right questions, find out what's going on, and help refer people to get the appropriate help, you know, that's big. The number one killer of first responders nationwide is suicide, and that's a number that's not tracked that much. But we know it to be true just by watching what goes on within departments and how they react to that, how they build peer support programs, and, you know, even build in mental health checkups for their employees.
That's fantastic. The built-in mental health checkups. I mean, even just stopping someone in the hall.
Yes.
Checking on them. Hey, how you doing?
And there's a really great lifeline out there, Floyd. It's 988 Lifeline, and it is manned 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year. We have two bases in Wyoming that work the lifelines, and anyone who needs any type of help can call that lifeline. And it really is that lifesaver going mm-hmm. out there.
And I'll tell you, you know, that 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, that is exactly what it says it is. It is a lifeline. I do not know how many lives that they have saved. I don't even know if they have an ability to track that. But they're saving lives every day. And you can save a life just checking in.
Yes.
Stop by. Check in. Say hi. Co-workers, family, friends, all of us need a little help sometimes. Switching gears on you, Sheridan is going to be hosting both the Wyoming Recreation Parks and Recreation, Recreation and Parks Conference and the Wyoming Tree Academy this month. What does that mean?
Well, our parks people are going to be very busy that week.
That means work, right?
Exactly. So the Recreation and Parks Conference is September 22nd through the 24th, and it brings together park and recreational professionals from around the region, not just from the state, but from around the region, to learn about new trends in the industry. And so we were very fortunate in that they chose Sheridan to host that conference, that yearly conference. And then at the same time, the 23rd through the 26th, we have the Wyoming Tree Academy. And I'm sure someone out there is going, why would they choose two conferences to run coincidentally at the same time? But part of that was the city of Sheridan won the Outstanding Forestry Program of the Year award.
Oh, fantastic.
From the Wyoming State Forestry in 2024. So we get to host that conference in 25. And the conference kicks off with saluting branches. Now, this is another near and dear opportunity for me. Last year, we did saluting branches at our Sheridan Municipal Cemetery. And it is a national event, national organization, and tree professionals and landscapers and volunteers come together and clean up a cemetery. So we did all kinds of tree trimming last year. We did a lot of landscaping. And so it's like, well, Bev, what can you do? What is your profession? Well, I am a really good raker. they had me on compost raking around the trees. It's a wonderful event, but it can also include things like straightening headstones, washing headstones. And again, why this is so near and dear to me is because it focuses on veterans.
Yeah.
And you know, Floyd, veterans are my heart.
Yeah.
And so this year, because we had already done the municipal cemetery last year, we're going to the VA.
Oh, fantastic.
And we will be working at the VA doing those very same things that we did last year at our municipal cemetery.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. Just exactly when can folks join up with that? I'm running out of time with you. Do you have a date?
It is Wednesday the 18th.
Wednesday, September 18th?
Yes.
All right. I'll make sure to get that up because that's something that I really like. I want to thank you both so much for coming in this morning. We've run out of time together, but it is always a pleasure having you two on the show. And I always end up having such a good time and telling too many stories. That's how I know it's a good show. Thank you.
Floyd, we are always willing to come back.
You let them know that up there.
Yeah, they're even having me come back again next month. So
oh, good deal. I get to see Chief again. All right, when we return, we're going to talk with Habitat for Humanity Eastern Bighorns on the upcoming Wolf Creek Wrangle. Stick with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Don't miss an unforgettable night of music featuring beloved operatic arias, timeless Broadway favorites, and the Great American Songbook. Join us Friday, September 12th at 7 p.m. in Kennison Hall at Sheridan College's Whitney Center for the Arts. Songs will be performed by Opera Wyoming and feature local artists. Tickets range from $10 to $30. Buy them online at sheridan.edu/arts or call the Whitney Center box office at 675-0360. Opera Wyoming, where Wyoming meets Broadway. September 12th at Sheridan College.
Shan Foster with Country Pet Inn and All Around Canine Training. Part of your job is to bridge the communication gap between humans and dogs.
I have this like obsession with trying to interpret why a dog's doing what it's doing. Even though they do possess so many similar emotions that we do, they also have them for different reasons. Some of the behaviors that dogs exhibit may look like they're doing something based on what we would do, but it's the opposite. Sometimes you just say, here, look what just happened right there. That's why she's doing this. And the owner will go, that is crazy. Yeah, yeah. I wondered why she did that. They look at me like I'm magic. It's not me. It's the dog.
Well, it requires somebody who has that knowledge to kind of like turn that light on.
Yeah, I consider myself the liaison between a dog and human.
Well, and it's one of those vital things where, you know, without that, they'd never get there.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, you're right. All I'm trying to do is enhance the relationship.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty cool job to have.
Learn more at countrypetinn.com.
This is the captain with Captain Clean. Are you noticing unnecessary dust in your home? If so, your ductwork may be telling you it's time for a cleaning. HVAC and furnace cleaning will undoubtedly optimize your furnace's performance and keep your indoor air quality free of unnecessary dust and allergens. If you like clean air and lower energy bills, call our experts at Captain Clean today and schedule your next HVAC cleaning. Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
Hi, I'm Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty, inviting you to take a look at this beautifully maintained 4-bedroom, 2-bath home featuring AC, a newer roof, and hot water heater. The inviting kitchen offers an island, abundant storage, and a walk-in pantry. A convenient main-level laundry allows for easy single-level living. Ideally situated at 1430 Omar near Mavrakis Pond and the walking path. List price is just $385. To take a look at this property, contact me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For a second part this morning, I am joined by the Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity of the Eastern Bighorns, Christine Dietrich, and from Fremont Toyota, Chris Hayden. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
All right, Christine, let's start with the basics. I think everybody knows why you're here. The big Wolf Creek Wrangle right around the corner. When and where is it going to be this year?
Yeah, so this race has been hosted since 2008 out at the Eaton's Ranch, the third Saturday of September every year. So this year it falls on September 20th.
Now, what distances are being offered this year?
So we have a 5-mile, 7-mile, 13.1, which is a half marathon distance, and 18-mile distance.
How many people go for the big long distance?
Oh, goodness. Every year it changes. I do feel more and more that folks are more interested in the longer distances. That hasn't been reflected in our registrations this year yet. Maybe because folks have done it and are scared to do it again. I don't know, Chris. Chris has ran the 18-mile. Well, have you done the 18-mile or just the half?
Yeah.
He's ran it before, so I don't know. He's willing to come back.
It's a fun challenge. It's good. Being at Eaton's is a huge honor to have them host this event, and it's awesome country if you've never been out there, whether it's the 5, 7, 13, 1, or 18. I challenge people to go do the 18 if they've ever done anything, because it is fantastic. It is challenging, but it is fantastic.
Chris, you look like a runner. Are you one of these guys that tries to run in every event?
I try to get, I'm very blessed. I try to get out as much as I can, yeah.
He's being very humble. He's completed several hundred-mile races. He has a race coming up this weekend. He's pretty hardcore.
Do your legs just feel like jello at the end of those things?
They do. The 100-mile distance especially, I'm 50 now, so it takes me a little while to recoup from that. But, yeah, it's good.
I'm 5 years younger than you, and I can't even imagine getting out there and doing a 2-mile run. You know, when it comes to like 100 miles... You're just stretching your legs at 18.
Well, this is a race, though, the Wolf Creek. It's, you know, there's some competitors out there. You got a lot of time to get to the end of a 100-miler.
Yeah.
You know, 36 hours at the Bighorn. That's a lot of time.
Oh, my goodness.
There.
Running for 36 hours straight. I couldn't even imagine. I can't even get past 11 p.m. anymore. Now, the trails at Eaton's Ranch, we've talked about the honor of actually being out there. This is the only race that's allowed out there at the Eaton's Ranch.
Right. This is the oldest operating dude ranch in the United States. And so Jeff Way and Mary Eaton's have opened up the trails to the public once a year for this event. So they aren't used to seeing foot traffic on these trails, so they are pretty rugged. There's no trail maintenance that's being done. What you get is what you get when you come out there. And the race will look a lot different this year with the elk fire that happened last year. it came right through every part of the course, North Red Canyon, South Red Canyon, all the way to the cabins at Eaton's Ranch. Habitat even went out there and tried to help get some items off of the property in case the fire impacted the cabins. So the trails are going to look a lot more different this year. I don't even know exactly what they look like till I get out there next week to mark them. I know there's some fire breaks out there. We may have to reroute some portions of the course because without the protection of the trees, I know that there's been a landslide in one area Jeff told me about that we may have to go up and over. So we're all just going to show up and have fun and get to the end and enjoy the experience and enjoy the challenge. But do expect that the course will look a little different this year.
Christine, do you run a lot?
I do. I am not the 100-mile runner. I don't know if I'll ever get there. But yes, I've been a runner for over 10 years. I have ran these courses before, prior to working at Habitat and being in charge of managing the event. So it's just a great time to be out there. And it's a great vibe with all of the runners, too. And Chris can attest to this, but the running community is amazing. The way that we cheer each other on and support each other and help each other reach our goals. And Eaton's Ranch is no different. The experience that you have out there and everyone who comes out, it's just a great, great place to be with great people.
Chris, with all the running that you have done, when you look at these rugged trail runs, what's the appeal?
Well, in this case, it's just to be able to get to a place that they don't allow you to normally get, you know, as far as that goes. But we are so blessed in the, you know, in our backyard.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, I mean, we just need to get out and do something positive. Everybody, with the negative news that we're living in, we just need to get out and do something positive. The Habitat's all about positive, you know. We at Fremont Toyota always want to keep things on the up and up. We love a healthy community. We want people to be happy. And if for no other reason, they just get up and get out to Eaton's and you know, make a positive experience out of it and help the Habitat. I mean, we got some major housing crises these guys are really helping with. This is a huge, huge day for them
now,
and our community. So,
how long has Fremont been behind Habitat in this run? Has it been a number of years?
It has been several years. I couldn't pinpoint an exact year, but Fremont's been a huge partner in making this event happen.
Chris, what's the discussion like up there at Fremont Toyota when we all sit around together and decide, hey, who are we going to sponsor together? Who, what cause can we get behind? What do those look like?
Well, there's a lot of different ones. You know, our leadership group is pretty large, even on the local level, and we kind of just sit around, and what's important in this case, you know, very important to me, Habitat's important to everybody there, but we, you know, anything that comes across the board, we sit down and as a unit, leadership unit, and we vote and we talk about it. And obviously anybody that lives in Sheridan employs people like we do.
Yeah,
you know, we keep an eye on the housing crisis because it, I mean, it really affects the, you know, what goes on in our business behind the scenes like it does everybody else. So
yeah,
to get behind this is a no-brainer for us. I mean, we are obviously at the front and center with Bighorn Trail running things like that too. We want a healthy community. I mean, a healthy community is good for everybody.
And so you actually really like to sponsor events that kind of get people outside.
Absolutely. It goes hand in hand with Toyota. I mean, that's what they are. They're an outdoor adventure vehicle, and that's what really what we promote. So
now it's more than just a run. Big fundraiser, Christine. How important is this fundraiser to Habitat every year?
Right. This is the largest fundraiser that Habitat hosts every year. And so as our programs grow, as our services grow, as the need grows, which Chris kind of attests to with just some of the challenges that we are seeing in being able to recruit and retain our workforce or recruit new businesses to town even, housing is a piece of that puzzle. And so the funds raised for this event are getting invested right back into our building programs through our traditional side. We've got projects in Ranchester. We have projects in Sheridan we're about to launch, plus our housing land trust with that 30-unit development. You know, with the addition of the HLT, the housing land trust program, we tripled our budget. And that means we have to have a bigger community ask because we can only do what we do with the community standing behind us.
Yeah. Tell me about a couple of the big accomplishments this year, this summer, as we're getting ready to kind of close this out. This run is probably one of the final big things we all do for summer. Looking back over your shoulder at this season, what sticks out the most?
I think what sticks out the most is that through our housing land trust program specifically, the spotlight is on Sheridan. The questions are being asked all around the state, how we were able to do this. What did that partnership look like with the city and the county? How does a housing land trust work? How can we do this in our own communities? Because housing is a need in our own communities. And so there's been a lot of outreach and conversations being had with leaders across the state about what we're doing. And I just think Sheridan in so many ways has been able to do that, set the standard for other communities, and housing right now with the Housing Land Trust is another one of those avenues. So I'm very proud of that, all of the work that we've put into it. It has been a long haul, but we're seeing the fruits of that labor. And if anything, not just the tangible impact it's having on providing homes to our workforce, but just also how this could translate into being launched in other communities is a really big deal.
Has anybody, these individuals who are kind of mining your brain for this information, have they thought enough to ask, hey, would you pop into our community for just a couple days, take a look around, tell me what you think?
Yes, we have had those conversations. We have traveled to other communities in the state. We've traveled to Montana to give presentations on the Housing Land Trust. And Montana already has established land trusts in their area. So it's been a lot of fun. And the question's been asked, will you come here and do this? And that involves a lot of other different pieces, but at least we can provide the framework and the education around how it works and how it can be done in their community, and then where it goes from there. We're happy to provide additional support because it's meaningful for us, and we're not just isolated to having an impact here in Sheridan. If this model can work in other communities and just lift all boats, as they say, then that's a win too.
Absolutely. And all of this fantastic work that is so critical to communities and workforces cannot be done without these fantastic fundraisers, where you're gonna be giving your money to a cause that you know will benefit the community as a whole. But at the same time, you're going to be out there at Eaton's Ranch running on trails that very few have run on before, taking advantage of a fantastic atmosphere. Now, registration is open. You still have room because there is a limited number that you're allowed to kind of have in there.
Right. Eaton's Ranch, as I said, is a working, operating dude ranch, and the work doesn't stop even when we're out there. They still have guests and work to do. So they do limit the participants. We have sold out the last 2 years. And so registering as soon as possible guarantees a spot in the door, but we do still have spots open. If I still have spots open at Packet Pickup, which is the 18th, the Friday before 4 to 7 at Luminous, then I will allow registrations that night too, but it's better to be safe than sorry. Snag your spot now. Run wolfcreekwrangle.com to register.
Now, for those who may not be inclined to run, but they still want to get involved, is there volunteer opportunities out there?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked this question because, you know, we've partnered with the Sheridan College nursing students in the past in Search and Rescue, which are amazing groups giving their time. But I definitely still could use some volunteers to help at either packet pickup or race day at aid stations or at the start and finish line. And so if you're interested in helping at all, it's so much fun. It really is. Just reach out to me, Christine at SheridanHabitat.org. I'm an easily found person. Check out our website too, runwolfcreekwrangle.com, and I'll hook you up with ways that you can help.
All right.
And give you some swag.
Now, yeah, and you're wearing that swag right now. It actually looks really cool. I do love the color combinations that you chose for this race. Some of my favorite, not because I'm any kind of sports fan or anything. I just think they're good color. Now, there are safety measures in place for those individuals. I got about a minute left. Could you just reassure folks, hey, you're not going out there without any support?
Oh, yes, of course. Sheridan's Area Search and Rescue is going to be out there. They've always been out there to help runners and keep everyone safe. And just, you know, they've had a a lot of work to do this season, a lot of stressors that they've faced recently. And so I just want to give a special shout out to them and just thank them for continuing to give their time to this event. Amazing people. But our runner safety is our top priority. So just rest assured that we'll take care of you at the race.
Now, closing it out, Wolf Creek Wrangle, like I said, is probably one of the big end of summer events. As we look forward into the fall and then eventually into the winter, what's next for Habitat?
Oh, goodness. I mean, what's next is we're going to just continue our building. We build year round. We also will be, and this is the first I've mentioned it, participating in a Jimmy and Rosalind Carter Rural Rally build. So historically across the nation, there have been Jimmy Carter and Rosalind Carter Habitat builds at very large metropolitan cities. And this year we have an opportunity to be a part of it in rural communities, and we signed up to do that. So October 29th, we're going to be hosting a VIP only, invite only event where we'll have a housing panel and a speaker and a tour of the Weston Village Housing Land Trust properties. So
oh, wow.
That'll be actually our biggest closing event for the year.
That's fantastic to hear. Chris, what's next for Fremont Toyota? You got about 30 seconds.
We're just going to be in the community all day, every day, just doing what we do. And, you know, nothing necessarily huge events coming up, just consistent, you know, in the community, doing things with the chamber and hanging out like we always do. You know, kind of in closing for the Wolf Creek Wrangle event here, let's get out. We can walk, we can jog, we can hike, we can run if we want to be competitive. But most of all, let's get out and smile. You know what I mean? Get out at Eaton's and just have a good time.
That's fantastic. And a great, great mark to close on, my friend. Thank you. All right. I want to thank you both for coming in and having this quick little bout with me. I greatly appreciate both of you. All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors was born and built right here in Sheridan, Wyoming. And this time of year, the temperatures aren't the only thing rising. So are the out-of-town roofers. You know, the ones with wrapped trucks claiming they're local. They knock on your door, drop an area code, then give you 3 days to come up with your deductible. Brandon 307 has been on these rooftops for years, installing impact-resistant shingles, metal roofing, and keeping homes Wyoming tough. Go with the name you know. Call Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors for your inspection or visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, Branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Mossholder's Design Center is here to help you create a space that you'll love. If you're relocating, remodeling, or just refreshing your home, Mossholder's talented design team can help you through the process. With free in-home consultations, Mossholder's will be able to find the furniture and finishing touches that work best with your space, your lifestyle, and your budget. So if you want to change the look of just one room or furnish an entire home, Mossholder's designers can get it done. Mossholder's, furniture is our passion.
You've heard that legendary voice. Now see him live. Dan Tominski brings his blazing band to the YO Theater Saturday, September 20th at 7 p.m. The voice behind the Soggy Bottom Boys, lighting up the stage in Sheridan for one night only. Grab your friends, grab your seats, and get ready to holler for more. Dan Tominski, Saturday, September 20th, 7 p.m., YO Theater.
One way to put a damper on all the fun of the lake is by forgetting to get your watercraft registered or forgetting to get your aquatic invasive species decal. Go to the Wyoming Game and Fish website to get both. And while you're at it, go through all your watercraft safety gear, life jackets, fire extinguishers, and such, and make upgrades if needed. Then go have fun. Sponsored by the Wyoming Game and Fish, the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and this station.